Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for praying for us while we're away. Lovely to be back and serving amongst you. As we were leaving for New Zealand, and I began to think through what next in terms of what we should preach through, and obviously we looked at, as Brian said, the Upper Room Discourse of John, I wanted to just pause for a few weeks and think about, well, who are we as a church? You know, often as we come back at the beginning of September, and I mean that collectively, for those in the Northern Hemisphere, it's really the start of the new year. Kids go back to school this week, everyone's had a summer break, it's that time of kind of reset almost. So rather than just kind of launching into to looking at John's Gospel, I wanted us to take a couple of weeks just to pause and ask the question, who are we? Who are we as a church? So will you pray with me as we look at this today? Lord God, we know that you have called us out of the world to belong to your Son, Jesus. And we praise you for that because we know it's nothing of ourselves that has done that. We know it's nothing inherently good in us that has allowed you to call us to yourself. And Lord, you also call us out of an isolation, out of a me-centered culture, to belong to you and to belong to each other. So as we spend 2 weeks on Sundays and then into home groups, Lord, looking at the church and who we are, Lord, we pray that you would do a mighty work amongst us. Lord, help us to know who we are, know our status. And then, Lord, we pray that you would help us to live out our calling collectively as your people. Amen. So who are we? You know, are we just a religious club? You know, look around. We come from different backgrounds, don't we? Different ages, different backgrounds, different cultures. What draws us together? Is it just religion? You know, our hobby is religion. You know, we might not be interested in other things, but you know, religion is what we do, and so we've been brought together out of different backgrounds to be a religious club. Is that who we are? It's worth thinking, isn't it? That's how the world sees us. How does God see us? Imagine this conversation later this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Let's go for tomorrow morning. What did you do at the weekend? What did you do on Sunday? Oh, I went to church. Church? What's that? Now, over to you for a moment. That's you. How are you going to answer that question? What's church? Have a think for a moment. Any thoughts? Shout out some answers. Yes, Lois. Okay, the body of believers. Now that's fantastic. Fully wonderfully biblical. But that's going to mean nothing to someone in your work. So maybe try and think through both biblically and relevantly. Okay, we're a follower of Jesus. Thanks, Keith. Who's our Saviour? Yeah, great, great. Okay, now imagine this is the conversation. So what did you do at the weekend? I went to church. Church? Oh, that's the religious club that people go to, isn't it? So are you religious? How are you going to answer that one? No. Amen. And try not to run a mile when they say that word. Yeah, yeah. Anything else beyond no? I'm a believer. In anything in particular? In gravity?
No. I don't do no more. I believe that
okay. But that's you, isn't it? What's church, though? Ah, good. So, fabulous. Fabulous, Claire. Do you want to come and take over? Just... All right, now imagine this one. So what did you do at the weekend? Oh, I went to church. I knew a churchgoer at my old work. He was fabulous. Especially when he was drunk. Are you one of those sort? How are you going to answer that one? Thanks, June. Yeah. Thank you, June. Thank you. How do you answer that question? You know, are you one of those? You know, essentially, you're no different from the world. Any thoughts? Okay, keep it going around your head. It's important. This isn't just a theoretical question, isn't it? I mean, most of us who are here now have gathered here week after week for probably a number of years. Most of us would be involved in something of the life of the church throughout the week, and we'd do the same next week. This is kind of who we are, isn't it? This matters to us. This is no kind of ivory tower philosophy question. This is at the core of who we are. And if we don't know who we really are, then we don't really know why we're here. We don't know why we exist. We've got a problem, haven't we? It really does matter that we understand who we are. So we're going to spend 2 weeks plus home groups looking at that question of who we are. And we're going to have 2 weeks looking at the same book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians, two different passages, two different answers, but the same question. Next week, jumping ahead, we're going to see that our answer to who we are is that we belong to each other. But there's a more... There's another answer that precedes that one that we need to look at today. We belong to each other because today we're going to see we belong to God. So if you take nothing else away, if you go to sleep for the next 25 minutes, take that away. We belong to...
Good.
Let me just give a little bit of background about 1 Corinthians, given that we're going to be there for a couple of weeks. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Previously, he'd been on a missionary journey and he'd arrived in Corinth and he'd preached the good news of Jesus to the people. And wonderfully, they received that news that Jesus was Lord and Saviour. And so they joined into a series of little house groups, a series of house groups that were together, the church in Corinth. And Paul is now writing this letter to them some years later for two reasons. One, he's responding to certain questions that they have asked him. So for example, if you looked at chapter 7 and verse 1, you'll see that they're asking questions about marriage. So Paul is responding to their questions. But he's also writing for a second reason, which is that he's heard from a distance of some of the rather dubious things going on in the church. The Corinthians were, before they became Christians, Gentiles, and they were living still as Gentiles, which meant they were glorifying human leaders. Oh, Paul, he's fabulous. No, Paul's not fabulous. Peter, he's fabulous. No, don't worry about them. What about this other one? Some even said, we belong to Jesus. He's our leader. So they glorified human leaders. They glorified human wisdom or thought or philosophy. So they had all the latest philosophical ideas going around and they thought, well, that's just fabulous. They glorified idols. They were idol worshippers. And they had some rather skewed ideas about human relationships. So everything that was still in Gentile territory from their past, that was in their culture, really was still in the church, even though they'd become Christians. They had an uncritical acceptance of the values of the world in the church. Yes, they bore the name of Jesus. They wanted to be Christians, but really in name only. They weren't willing for Christ to change their ungodly practices, their ungodly attitudes. The world was in the church. And that was a problem. But look at chapter 1 and verse 2. Do you see in the second half of that verse, Paul is also writing to people in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means he's writing to us as well. God is using 1 Corinthians to speak to you and I today. He's asking us to evaluate ourselves and say, is the world and all its values or vices in the church? Do we have an uncritical acceptance of the values of the culture in Hope Church? That's the question that's being addressed. In short, the world and the church just sort of blended into each other. John, could I have the picture, please? Have a look at this picture. I'm sure it'll be very familiar to you. Meditate deeply so far. Okay, don't worry. Imagine the Where's Wally books. And you've got to try and spot Wally, haven't you, amongst this ginormous crowd of people and things going on. And you can spend for ages, can't you, forever, looking at this picture, trying to spot Wally. Because he's just blended into the world around him. And so we've got to say, is that true of us? Have we blended in so much with the world that the church and the world is no different? And we've got to ask that question of ourselves, because that's the question that 1 Corinthians is asking us. If we were to put a mirror against ourselves as a church, what would be reflected? Would it be Christ and his holiness? Is that what would be reflected? Or would it be the world and its unholiness? Do we have an uncritical acceptance of the values or the vices of this world amongst us as a church? Listen to how the late author and pastor John Stott puts it. He says, "We aren't to be like reeds shaken by the wind, bowing down before gusts of public opinion. We are not to be fish floating with the stream, for only dead fish swim with the current. We are not to be like chameleons, lizards which change their colour according to their surroundings. But we are to stand out visibly against our culture." What do we reflect? So that's the question that Paul is posing, really, isn't it? How are we going to deal with an uncritical acceptance of the values of this world as a church? So how does Paul address the question? Well, the answer is there in chapter 1, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians. He speaks about belonging. He speaks about ownership. Look at verse 2. "To the church of God." That word "of" means belonging, to the church who belong to God. You see, yes, there's many individual issues that are going on in the church, and he will address them. But how does he start off by addressing these issues? Well, he talks about the fundamental issue. Who do you belong to? Because if you belong to God, if you're the church of God, then you will want to reflect him. But if you're really just a group of religious people who occasionally gather together, then you belong to the world, and really the individual issues are neither here nor there. But he says, you are the church of God. You've been called by God, called out of the world to belong to him and to each other. You no longer should be finding value and identity in the world. No, your identity is now in Christ, because you're the church of God. He's talking about our identity, isn't he? How does Paul address the uncritical acceptance of the values of the world? By saying who you are. He's talking about your identity and our status. Come with me into chapter 3 into verse 16 of 1 Corinthians, because Paul again there speaks about who we are, our identity. Would someone like to read chapter 3 verse 16 when they find it, please? Thanks, Keith. He's saying you're the temple. Now, he's not saying you're a literal building. He's not saying you exist in Jerusalem and you're made up of bricks. No. He's talking about being a dwelling place, individually and corporately as a community. We are the dwelling place of God because we are the church of God. We are the people in whom God by his Spirit dwells. That's a massive thing to say, isn't it? Who are we? We're the people who belong to God, the people in whom he lives. Do you notice that Paul doesn't say in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, to the church of Paul? He doesn't say that, does he? Yes, Paul might have been the church planter. He might have been that early laborer who gave so much of his time and energy towards discipling these believers. And now he's taken the time to write to them. But he doesn't say it's the church of Paul. It's the church of God. And so many of our problems as a church can come when we think that this is my church. So let me make it fundamentally church. This is not the church of Gareth the pastor. This is not the church of the eldership. This is not the church of the leadership. This is not the church of the eldest members of the church who've been here for decades. Because when we start going down that route, we start thinking that I have the right to dictate how the life and the activities of this church go on. But we don't. We're all the same. We are servants of the living God whose church it is. We are the church of God. That's our identity. So let's go back to that conversation at the start that we had, that fictional conversation tomorrow morning. What did you do at the weekend? I went to church. Church? What's that? So back to yourselves, if you're bold and brave enough to talk to the person next to you, from what we've seen so far, how could you begin to answer that? Off you go. Wonderful to hear the natter. Please carry those conversations on over lunch, because it really does matter. Hopefully the word belonging came in. The idea that we belong to God. We're a people called by God who belong to him. Now if that's true, and if God is holy, set apart from this world, unstained by sin, which he is, then it would begin to make sense, wouldn't it, that we should begin to reflect him, that we should be like him. So it's not just that we belong to God, but that we are beginning to be like him as well. And that's where Paul goes. That's where he goes in the next part of verse 2. So that's our second heading, if you like. Number one, our identity is we belong to God. And our status is that we are sanctified saints. We are sanctified saints. Let's come back to verse 2. To the church of God, church that belongs to God, that's in Corinth, to those sanctified or those holy in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So this is the second way we can begin to answer that question of how do we get rid of that uncritical acceptance of the values of the world in the church, by knowing that we are sanctified. Now, if you think about status and job description, this is more about our status. We are the sanctified people of God. We are, in status, the holy people of God. It's more that than a job description. Let me try and illustrate it. If a footballer has a transfer, as we've just had lots of transfers over the summer, they have a change of status. So take England's greatest footballer, if you like England, and I don't, Harry Kane. Yeah? He belonged to Tottenham. I know, you can roll your eyes. He belonged to Spurs. Right? And then there was the whole saga of will he, won't he transfer before his contract runs out. And in the end, he did. Bayern Munich bought him. He changed his status. Before he'd even gone onto the pitch and scored any goals, which was his job description, his status had changed. Achieved through a vast, ridiculous sum, about £80 million. So it is with us. Our status as a church is sanctified. Because we are the church of God, because we belong to him, we are in our status holy. Full stop. No ifs, no buts. That is who we are. But equally, we aren't just sanctified, we are saints. Because you might ask the question, am I free to live as I want? Are we as a church free to live as we want? If we belong to God, and if we are in status holy, then surely I can just live how I want. No. Full stop. Because that term saints is referring, if you like, to your job description. Your status is holy, now your job description is to live as the holy people of God. Peter in his letter will say, quoting God from the Old Testament, be holy, for I am holy. Be who you are. Your job description and your status need to match up. That's how Paul addresses the uncritical acceptance of the values of the world in the church. Be who you are. Mirror Jesus, not the world. And this becomes even clearer for us when we realize that what Paul is doing here is that he's alluding back to a really famous Old Testament passage. So come with me, if you will, to Exodus, second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 19. And when someone finds it, would they like to read verses 4 to 6, please? Thank you, Jackie. So that's what Paul is alluding to in 1 Corinthians, this particular passage here. Saying, look, by grace you have been saved. You were called out of Egypt at God's great through God's great power. And he's brought you to himself here at Mount Sinai now to tell you how you're to be the sanctified people of God. As you go into the promised land that I'm about to give you, this is how you're to live. This is your job description, knowing your status. And what's the job description? It's to be holy. It's to keep the covenant. To keep their side. Israel to keep their side of the covenant as God keeps his. And so it is for the church today. We've been rescued in an even greater way. We've been rescued by the blood of Jesus. And now he's brought us to himself, calling us the sanctified people. Now go and be holy, is what we're being told to do. Live as saints. Reflect the holiness of Jesus, not the world. Purge the sin from among you, Paul will say a little bit later on in Corinthians. So I think there's an invitation here from God, an invitation for you and I. He's saying, look, remember who you are. Remember that you've been called out of the world by God to belong to him. Remember that you are the sanctified people. And now he invites us all, individually and as a church, to be saints, to be the people that we're called to be, to reflect the holiness of Jesus, to purge the sin from among us. So that's the invitation from God. So just pause for a moment. How will you respond to that invitation? I think there's two ways that I've thought of. You've got many, I'm sure. Two ways that we should respond. The first is, I think we should grieve. I think we need to grieve when we have an uncritical acceptance of the values of the world in the church. We need to grieve at our self-possessiveness of church, of saying, this is my church. Because that, I think, is where so many of our problems can stem from. I think we need to grieve when the world's values or the world's teachings are reflected in the church. When we just want to be like Wally and blend in with the society around us. So as the world changes its understanding of who we are as people, of gender and sexuality and of relationships, and the church just adopts it because we want to be cool and trendy, we need to grieve when we see that in the church as a whole. And I think we need to grieve when we see the members of the church's ethical lives no different to the world. One of the villages that I have spent some time in Fiji and went back to, they declare themselves to be a non-kava drinking village. Now, kava is a plant that you can grow. And you can take some of the parts of the plant, mix it with water, and you've got a very traditional drink. The problem is it's a grog, it desensitizes you. You lose a lot of your senses. And so it makes people very lazy, unable to work properly. And for traditional Christian villages, you know, if they're having it on a Saturday night, then they're not going to be with God's people on a Sunday morning. So I'm being shown around this village and it's declared to me that we are a non-kava drinking village. And you go, okay, it's fine. And then the person showing me around comes to his house and he shows me his garden and says, here's my kava plantation. Because this is a really good cash crop and I can sell it and make more money than I can from teaching. And you can think, but you're a non-kava drinking village. Oh, but it's a cash crop. And you think, well, it's not okay for you to drink, but it's okay for others. Others can be desensitized and useless, but not. There's an uncritical acceptance of the world. We need to grieve when, for ourselves, we have ethical practices that really aren't reflecting the holiness of Jesus. We need to grieve when greed, not generosity, is our hallmark. We need to grieve when the love of self, not the love of God and the love of neighbor, is our hallmark. We need to grieve when we're more interested in being filled with caffeine or alcohol or nicotine than we are the Holy Spirit. I think grieving needs to dominate us far more as a church. So first, I think we need to grieve, and then secondly and finally, I think we need to strive. Strive to be the people that God calls us to be. Strive to be a holy community, not just in name, but in deed as well. God wants Hope Church. God wants you and I to be a people who reflect His holiness, not the world's. So let's go back for a final time to that conversation at the start. What did you do at the weekend? Oh, I went to church. Church? What's that? Well, we're a group who belong to God. We're called by Him to live in a way that pleases Him. Moment of quiet for you to reflect, and then I'll pray for us. Lord, please forgive us. Forgive us when we don't know who we are. Forgive us for the many times when we don't live as sanctified people, when our job description, our status are far from each other. Lord, it causes you to grieve, and it should cause us to grieve. Lord, please help us. Please, by your Spirit, empower us to be the people you want us to be. Help us to strive for godliness by your grace. Amen.
Let's sing, shall we? And then Brian will bring us to a close at the end before we go through and spend some time together in here and next door. Let's finish with this reaffirming song of what we believe. Let's stand.